kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm fine, but now I'm disappointed that, like, we lost a whole bunch of... I don't know. Are you keeping all the shit that we said before we did this part?
No. The feet thing just isn't going to stick. There's no video to it.
But feet?
I mean, we could talk about feet again when we introduce our guests.
Can we ask them about their foot size?
I mean, if you really want to.
Fuck yes.
Joining us today, Chris Huber, Grant Henry. How are you two doing?
You go first, Grant. You do the thing.
I'm ready to kick this off.
Yeah, feet.
What's up?
Bringing it around what we can talk about town. Them. Yeah. Right.
No one knows what the hell we're talking about, but
they're gonna know.
I figured we were done. Like, we've been here for an hour. It's like we're ending the show now, right?
Yeah, this pretty much.
Thanks, guys. For having me.
Grant, it's been wonderful having you on the show.
Thanks.
How are you doing?
Oh, me?
Whoever.
This guy?
Oh, you. Nobody cares what I'm up to. I was just like, what are you up to?
I care, Chris. I do. I really do.
I care too, Chris.
Duh.
I mean, you visited me yesterday, so of course I care.
I saw you yesterday in the flesh.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Pretty much.
And apparently we were supposed to get, like, some crazy, ridiculous storm, so I left early so I wouldn't get caught in it, and nothing happened.
Not a damn thing.
Like, nothing happened.
We didn't even get a sprinkle here.
We got some stuff today, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm at least, like, sort of spitting distance-ish to you.
Yeah, close.
It's close.
Old unpredictable PA.
Dude, you have... Oh. I feel like it's way more unpredictable than it ever was before.
Yep, that's how that works.
It's, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Mother Nature is supposed to be June.
Well, I mean, like, you know, global warming's a myth, right? Like,
oh, of course.
I'm just saying. But anyway, feet. So
yeah, feet.
So Twitch. No, I genuinely want to bring this back around because I want to get your opinions on it. So, like, okay. I found out the other day that Twitch actually tried a sub only channel. Like, you were only able to see the content if you subscribed to the channel first.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Assuming
really?
Has to do with feet, among other things.
So, like, when you say subscribe, you mean don't follow, you mean pay them money?
No, like, pay them money. You have to pay to see the stream.
That's the next logical step, right? That's like just like paying for cable, right? Except you're paying for feet, right?
Yeah.
You're just paying for feet. But on Twitch, like...
You know, though, Twitch is really good at, like, cornering the market on shit like that. Like, people were getting donations and Twitch wasn't getting money from that, so then they made bits.
Yeah.
And then they go, hey, look, now you can give bits... And it won't get, you won't have to worry about a chargeback. And they tried to make it out as a good thing for streamers, but really it was just so they could take 40 cents of every dollar.
It's 40 cents? Oh my God, that's horrible.
It's $1.40 for 100 bits, and the streamer gets a dollar and Twitch gets the 40 cents.
That's
so it's a
weird.
Lot.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it goes up and changes,
and what's the transfer rate from, like, I know there's, like, an option that you could, like, watch an ad or something, right, to add bits, or did they take that away?
They used to do that. If you're on mobile, you can watch an ad for 2 bits.
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah. So that's used to be able on PC to watch, and, like, if it was an interactive ad, you'd get as much as 100-150 bits.
So you're saying that watching an ad on mobile is the equivalent of, like, a penny of ad revenue ish.
Yeah.
After, like, all the percentages, that is garbo.
Yeah. So it's very crummy. It's a very small amount for the actual streamer.
I thought they used to give like 10 bits or something.
It was if you were on PC, but not on. It used to, when it was on PC, you couldn't watch ads on mobile at all for bits. Then they added it so that you could watch them on mobile, but you only got 2 cents worth. And then I don't know what happened. Some people say that they can still see the ads on PC. I can't. And I haven't been able to in about a year and a half. But I know I used to do it enough that I would have 500 and 600 bits at any given time. Damn. Just from watching ads. But you know, it amounts to $5 or $6, which when you're broke, that's the best you can offer to some of your favorite streamers. That's what you would do.
So you're opting in to watch an ad while you're watching a stream. So like if they go take a poop, which seems to happen every time I click on a stream to watch it, people just aren't there. You can watch an ad and make money.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just watching. I just had 2 tabs open and I would just set the ads to run, which they would limit how many you could watch a day or per stream.
Well, Prime in the chat said that he got 25 bits from watching an ad earlier.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. That's how it used to be, like on watching them on PC. Like it was random. You get 10 sometimes. Sometimes you get 100. I think I had one interactive one that you had to actually play a game for the ad. And I got like 500. And that was one of the biggest ones I had. And then it just went back to, okay, well, I'm only getting 10 or 25 or whatever.
Maybe Twitch just cut you off.
Maybe.
For watching too many ads.
Because you're
generating way too much income for us. You need to stop.
You need to calm the fuck down, lady. But, I mean, because I was on anyway. It didn't mean anything to let ads run in the background.
Well, I was going to say, couldn't you just build like a browser bot and just have it go click crazy and just watch ads all day long? And
maybe you had to click on certain spots and play the game sometimes in order to make them go.
I see. Yeah. Are you a robot?
That's why they asked. Yes, I would love to be a robot.
Now I just do Twitch RPG. And I get bits that way.
What the hell is Twitch RPG?
It's a survey system. And then you do a survey, and sometimes they'll give you anywhere from 1 to 500 bits. And it's good enough for me. I just wish the opportunities came up a little more often. And they changed it recently to where, like, not every survey will get you bits. It's just if you're fast enough with it. So, like, they'll limit it down to only the first 300 respondents will get bits or something like that. And you're like, yeah, fuck you guys. They didn't used to be quite so dickish and, you know, cheap with the bits, but they have been lately.
I think I've bought bits one time. I never really do bits. I tip in a different way. Most of the people I watch are Rock Band streamers. So when I'm watching a stream and I have a request that they don't own, I just buy them the song and gift it to them on Xbox.
That'll do it.
That's cool too.
That's how I tip.
Yeah. That's super cool. That's like an actual gift. It's like, here you are. I bought the song for
Here's
you.
Here's a song Very I want to play that you might not like, but I'm going to make you play it anyway because I bought it for you.
And now you're
going
to like it. Yeah.
I do think it's like, I've never really, the bits thing is so interesting. I don't think I've quite wrapped my head around the little glass with the strangely rendered triangles that fall into them. It's sort of like, I feel like I'm taking part in some sort of strange pyramid scheme involving the Illuminati or something. Like, I don't understand what it is.
That happens too.
Sure.
It puts the bits in the cup where it gets the hose again.
Yeah, you know.
Like that, sort of. I feel like as soon as I put bits in someone's cup, someone's going to come knocking on my door for some reason. You know, I don't know. It's very strange. But I see.
We are the Bit RS. Where did you acquire that?
Do you have
an ad loading closet full of like iPhones?
I would do that.
So you do Rock Band streaming primarily there, Joe. That's your go-to game. That's where you check for streamers first. That is you dive into Rock Band. See, I'm the pinball
pretty much
streamer here. So
I like watching Rock Band. It's just good to have music in the background.
Yes, it is.
You know what? I had your stream on the other night, and you know, I kind of recognized that I might have to start doing that a little bit more often, because then it's like I'm listening to music, but also just like hopping in with chat every once in a while I'm doing something else. Yeah. Like that's a cool, like, that's a cool game to kind of get hooked on as far as like watching people stream. I dig it. I've been trying to find like other games to watch other people play, even if it's one that I don't play myself. Like even like I don't have a lot of experience with WoW, but because a lot of streamers are kind of getting in, like going with the beta for Classic, I've been kind of been watching some of those streams just because also like those types of games lend it to streamers to kind of interact with chat in between running like 20 miles to their next destination.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. I like the creative streams too. There's a guy who's building an actual physical Metroid pinball machine. I don't know if you guys know this, but it is a brain controlled. He's molded ramps. He got a playfield clear coated. My wife Claire is doing the voiceover for it. I've recorded her doing some call outs.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's like coming along really, really well. I'll link you guys to his stream. And he just streams himself putting this thing together or working on redesigns.
That's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah.
Are you doing the music for it?
He's going to use some Metroid Metal, at least as placeholder. I made him some, he was usually going to use it anyway. So I made him some loops, some seamless loops. He could just drop in and it would fit a little better. But yeah, he's got, Claire's going to be in there going super skill shot and shit like that.
Awesome.
So yeah. But yeah, look, I find that whenever like a racing game gets ready to come out or some game I'm excited about, I'll go on and watch, try to find if someone's streaming it early, I'll check it out. But I feel like most of the time I'll click on someone who says they've just started streaming and there's just no one there. Or I'll see gameplay from a video and I'll click and there's just no one there. Like someone's going to get food. I always seem to tune in during the commercial breaks. It's like the worst luck. And then I clicked on, and then you can't mute, channels. You can't prevent channels from displaying, which I wish you could kind of do because it always shows the same people at the top of my list for whatever reason. There is a browser plugin you can use to hide games. So if you just don't care about Fortnite, you can just mute Fortnite from your stream list, which is kind of neat.
That's helpful.
But I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of stuff, but there are a couple pinball people I like because of course, and feed people, obviously.
If it could feed.
Yeah.
Do you subscribe only so that you could watch them?
Yeah. Well, the people that play pinball with their feet.
that's a double whammy for you.
Obviously, you have to subscribe twice to. Yeah.
That's how Grant gets off at night.
Yeah.
It's pinball. Yep. Yeah. Pinball videos with feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where we are.
That's my fetish.
Yep.
Do you have a preferred foot size, or do you go on Wiki Feet to see who's the best?
Wiki Feet. Well,
I love that
somebody,
they think
if
I just
that
make that
exist,
up, and I
somebody
did
go
not
buy
make
it.
That up. Like, it is already a thing.
Well, I'm going to go there now. Thank you for lead.
I am not typing that into my browser.
Hey, Awesome Prime has a good idea. If you want to watch feet, look at Rock Band drummers, because how many drummers have a close-up of their bass pedal?
Foot cam.
Yeah.
Foot cam.
Yep.
They're going to have to... The picture-in-picture of the foot cam is going to be subscribe only.
Yes.
Everything else you could watch.
Going back to that, what do you think of subscribe only?
I don't know. Like, I mean,
I think it makes sense because there's how many wrestling channels are there anymore that show off, you know, different wrestling events. I can understand them wanting to do a subscriber only stream as like a pay-per-view type of deal.
Okay, sure. I could see that for like maybe like a specific night, but like these are streams that are just like you can't watch it at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that, I'm all for that. Cause you imagine like even like, all right, hey, you know, a local gaming place that has like tournaments and stuff. All right, this night we're going to stream the tournament, but if you want to watch it, you have to subscribe and we're going to throw that into the prize pool or something like that. Like that's neat.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But specifically, my God, specifically only subscriber only, like that's, I don't know. Because what if it's like, all right, what if you subscribe and you hate what the content is? Because there's no way for you to know what the content's going to be before you get into it.
Yeah, I feel like you have to kind of, maybe you could select certain archived streams to be public, you know, so for the sake of promoting what you're doing. Or it's like a, you know, freemium thing where here this channel is the regular one and this one you can pay money and see all the feet. More feet than on the mainstream.
You see the feet 2 days before anybody else sees the feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a lot of...
Patreon, yeah.
Patreon.
I watched a lot of creative channels, not including feet. And
are you
I feel like I need to clarify that because I'm the one that keeps bringing the foot thing up as a joke. But I watch a lot of creative channels, and like some artists like to offer up whatever they're painting for sale to their subs first. So if you could just do like one, you know, stream and mark that stream as only subscribers can see it, then you can say, okay, well, you subscribe, I'm going to have an art show and shop or whatever. And if you come to the stream, you have the choice of buying any of the art that's displayed. And then whatever goes on to, you know, they sell it through whatever other means. And I could see that being a viable option for creative streamers to like give subs first dibs on seeing art as it comes out or purchasing it first.
Yeah, I can understand having subscriber only streams, but a subscriber only channel, that might be
like
a different
that's weird
thing
to me. Like, I don't know. Subscriber only channel is like,
that sounds like, so that's like strange. Right. That's right at the, you're basically creating a television channel.
Yeah.
Like you're creating like a, you know, you don't even have to be doing things live at that point. That could be where they put their Bob Ross marathons and shit like that. You know?
Yeah.
But again, at the same point, that is like I mentioned before that the bits was a way to monetize people getting donations. It's another way for Twitch to keep people on Twitch because there's already people who do streams.
Yeah, there's tons of other streaming.
And they'll go, okay, yeah. But you can see, like, you see it on YouTube all the time. They're like, okay, this is the free content. And if you want to see this a month earlier, go to Patreon.
Right.
And you're like, well, that sucks. But that's kind of just like Twitch getting their hands wet with that same theory and same monetization method.
I'm trying to think of what I gotta sell my guitar and sell all my shit and start streaming. I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do.
There are actually people who stream while they make music.
Oh, that's just impossible. How in the world could someone? No, I've watched some of that. Some of that's great. Mm-hmm. There's some really creative people, and I love seeing people jam and do the creative stuff live is neat.
Yeah, I've seen Shale and Aleshon of the Grammar Club stream making music before. So
yeah. Watch a lot of Vert stuff. Vert's so fast, it's kind of fun to watch the magic happen.
Vert's insane.
So he's so fast.
It's ridiculous how talented he is.
I remember I saw Vert at a panel at MAGFest, and he was using Sonar, which, you know, maybe that means something to someone out there, but it was known for crashing. Sonar was known for crashing on PC, and he's doing this thing where he was making a song. Well, I mean, you were probably there, Joe. I don't know. He made a song in 45 minutes like you do. I think he got about 35 minutes into it, and, you know, critical failure, Windows crash, you know, gone. And, said the crowd. And then he just opened it back up and made a whole song in about 7 minutes. You know what I mean? Just monster.
Well, I lost everything. Fuck it. I'll start over.
Yeah, start over. I was thinking about this yesterday. What you do is you got people who dance on camera. You got people who do makeup tutorials. And you got people who play Dark Souls. So what you do is you play Dark Souls while dancing and putting makeup on at the same time.
Like you corner the market.
You corner all the markets at one time, right?
Even better.
But you also have to paint with your feet while you're doing that.
Oh,
you have to dance and paint with your feet.
See, I was going to say combine them and just play Dark Souls on a dance pad.
That's now you're onto it.
Yeah. And then you have a close up of the dance pad for the feet.
And your hands are free for the makeup part.
Yes. Picture in picture. But the makeup part is subscriber only.
Dark Souls themed makeup.
Now you get it.
Joe, you're just brilliant, man.
I know. I try.
Genius.
Enough Twitch chat. Grant, what have you been up to?
I just released a soundtrack for a Bubsy game called Bubsy Feet on Fire. Game about feet. Game about, you know, I don't know if you know this, but are you familiar with cats? You might know something about cats. Cats have things called paws that are also feet.
Yes.
It's amazing because they have twice as many feet as we do, people.
So much feet.
It's crazy.
Twice as many streams.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Too many ideas.
Oh, my Lord.
A one stream per paw.
That's right.
Could be a kitty streamer instead of a titty streamer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Joe, I think you got it covered, man.
Yeah.
I think you need to get on to that. Like,
I need another camera.
Wait, that's the thing. There's cameras now that will track motion, so you just figure out which ones to track for each individual cat, and you just have a constant stream up of every single one of your cats. That's like, how many streams, Joe? Like,
that is a hit. Do you realize how much of a hit that is?
And you got all. You think that's crazy, and you think that's a joke, but I actually
it would totally work.
Actually subscribed to some. I don't sub. I follow somebody though that does 24/7 goat streams.
See, like
goat.
I love to watch the baby goats. I miss having goats, so I watch the baby goats.
Incredible.
Yeah, and then makes me sad because I don't have them anymore.
Ever since Microsoft changed Skype and I can't have the Skype on the stream anymore, I just want to buy a second camera and have it placed over the kitty tower that's next to my desk. So a cat that's sleeping there, I'll just turn on kitty cam. And like right now, Potato's just sleeping next to me.
Oh, yeah, you need that.
Missed opportunities, man.
I know. I need another camera.
The whole three times that I streamed while I was painting, I wished that I had an extra camera to point toward the rabbit. Because normally when I'm painting, the rabbits are in the room running around. So I only have one right now. Until 3 weeks from now. But I always thought it would be cool, like while I was painting, if I was doing something boring, like waiting for paint to fucking dry, then at least the rabbits would be on camera doing something more interesting than me.
I'm trying to adjust my camera to get Potato.
Let's see Potato. Potato.
There's Potato.
It's Tater.
Mm-hmm.
Tater cat.
What up, Tater?
The Tates.
Cole knows. Mm-hmm. Cole's my girl. Tater.
Can't get the camera. The wire's too short. There we go. There's Potato. We'll just have a kitty cam.
Yay.
Oh, that's perfect.
This is the most adorable this stream has ever been.
I mean, I'm pretty adorable.
Yeah, but cat.
You have your moments.
I have my moments. Oh, Lord. So, Grant, how did you get involved with Bubsy?
Do you want the real story? Do you want the full story here?
Yeah, that's why you're on the show.
It's a wonderful tale. I'm just going to keep going with puns. So there's two guys that work at, so Choice Provisions is the one that made this game. They're the guys who made the Bitrip series and some other stuff. And there's a guy named Dant that works for the company that is a legit Bubsy fan just because it was out when he was a kid, you know, and he's over the years, he has given Bubsy related things, games and other things to the owner of the company, Mike, as gifts every birthday, a different, you know, something from eBay or whatever. And then he ran out of things to give Mike. And they were
I'm going to make you a game?
Yeah, he's like, you know, we should, we're out of things. We're out of games to give Mike. We should just, they just put this other game out and they're active on Twitter. We should reach out and talk to him about making a Bubsy game.
What?
And this is a true story. And they reached out to the Bubsy Twitter, which is connected to, you know, Bubsy. And then they, long story short, they ended up getting on board to make the next Bubsy release.
Incredible.
I know. And I had done some work on the last Runner game, Runner 3. So they pulled me in to do the whole OST and I'm like, let's go. Let's do this. So, what I really was doing with it was this is my second narrowband record, Joe. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it sounds exactly like narrowband.
Does it? I have not had a chance to listen to it yet. I listened to like two of the songs on the Bandcamp page. I just haven't had time to sit down and listen to the whole thing.
It's all atmospheric metal space rock. No, it's actually not. It's actually not at all.
I was gonna say.
I still owe you second narrowband. Anyway, so we did work and I put together these somewhat peculiar tracks for this new Bubsy game. It's sort of a PS1 inspired sound, but with some weird, strange stuff in there too. So it's kind of like a modernized, slightly retro 32-bit era soundtrack, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to work on. It's a totally different kind of thing for me. So it was a nice challenge. There's a little bit of guitar in there.
Like a little.
Just a little bit. Yeah, there's like a couple little ska joints, and then there's some little there's some leads and things, but I didn't do the Mick Gordon thing and you know, add more and more guitar until they submitted. I definitely just tried to although I did perform a lot of it with guitar, crazily. I have software that can interpolate my guitar playing and turn it into other instruments. So crazily, the thing was written on guitar, or a lot of it was.
So you use your guitar as your MIDI like controller?
Yep, absolutely. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Do you just use one of like the pickups like behind the bridge? Like,
yeah, it's not actually a lot of times when people are playing MIDI with their guitar, they buy this MIDI pickup and they'll run it through a Brain. And this is actually just a plugin. It's called MIDI Guitar. MIDI Guitar 2. And believe it or not, it is smart enough to hear the audio of the guitar and interpolate all the individual notes of chords and translate it into MIDI data. And it's not 100%, but it's pretty great.
Because I've been considering like buying like just a whatever MIDI controller for myself just for programming keys and stuff instead of like sitting and clicking all the and piano rolling it all in.
Yes, yes.
So like, yeah, that sounds awesome actually.
Yeah, it's cheaper, way cheaper to go that way. You can get a demo. I'll send you a link to it. But I have a little, you know, $40 MIDI controller I use to tap in stuff. I'm not a great piano player or anything, but it's great for ideas. And then when I'm really in it, I pull out the guitar and play weird toe jam and roll bass lines.
So I'm thinking even just like as a mobile rig, that then you don't have to try and like fit in like a tiny little pouch for a little MIDI controller. You know, you could just have the guitar and that's it. Like,
yeah,
guitar,
yeah,
interface, laptop, yep, whatever.
It works. It works. It's a little finicky, but you have to sometimes go back and correct stuff, but it works.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that even with my electronic drums because I can't remember the last time I recorded my actual drum kit. So,
yeah, I had intended to get something like that. And then I still click my shit in because it's what I'm used to.
I mean,
fast.
Drummers are just metronomes. So, I mean, you could click that in.
Yes. Like, yes.
I mean, you have your brother work with you a lot, don't you?
Yeah. He plays drums on a lot of stuff, the rock stuff. So he's around for that. But if I'm doing stuff from scratch and normally a lot of my stuff will start with a drum beat anyway. A drum idea, and then everything else kind of comes from that. It's just the way I write a lot of the time. For this game, all the music and levels is 120 BPM. So I was trying to think of all the different ways to hijack 120 BPM so it doesn't all sound samey.
Exactly, like 120 BPM.
like, you know, double time, half time, swing it a little bit.
Triplets.
Do weird, weird stuff, you know. So a lot of that would start with the beat first and then build from there. So
that's cool.
And yeah, depending on how you're getting like drum sounds and stuff like that. I mean, like there's plenty of VSTs with like comprehensive, you know, loops and patterns and all that kind of stuff that you could kind of work with.
You can use stuff if you just need something basic. You can find things to work with. But yeah, so this is like people know me as a rock guy and I know me as a rock guy. So this thing,
I know you, was as a rock
just,
guy.
You know, you know me as the other big wreck fan, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And so,
there's so very few of us.
Yeah, I know. All two of us got to stick together. We are the U.S. fan club. But no, so this was like a whole different thing, and it was kind of strange to dive in. And it's not like I had to keep myself from using guitar. It was more just, what does this sound like? What kind of instrument libraries do I want to mess with? There's a lot of really spacey stuff in here. There's weird proggy stuff for the bosses that don't involve guitar and distortion. So anyway, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun to work on. So, and to be associated with the Bubsy thing is like, I mean, the level of vitriol around the existence of him as a mascot in games is comical. Like there is very little like him in terms of that. So to be associated with the whole thing is actually a lot of fun. To watch it all happen. And there are more Bubsy fans out there than I ever realized. Like legit Bubsy fans. So,
this new Bubsy kind of had an uphill climb because the one before it was ravaged by reviews.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yep. Yeah, it was, I played it and in my opinion, it was sort of the beginnings of the game and they didn't quite get to the game. It's actually really pretty. But they just didn't get to the part where they got everything designed to out the way it needed to be. I have no doubts that
Choice Provisions put out a good Bubsy game though, because I don't think Choice has put out a bad game yet.
No, they're all good. This one's, I mean, this one's fun. It's similar to, it runs kind of like you'd expect the, it's like the Runner series. It's very much like Runner 2, less like 3. It's simpler. It's easier. It's more, it's great. It's more, there's more checkpoints. Runner 3 was pretty hard. And this is a lot easier. It's a lot more about combos and, keeping your score going than it is being able to finish the levels. But it's fun. It's nice. It was cool to work on.
You got to pass a message to Choice for us, though.
I will do that.
Xbox support.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not really up to them, but yes.
How is it not up to them? They're the ones who made the game.
Well, they were pulled in as developers to make the game for Accolade. So, yes. Accolade Bubsy is at their helm. And then
well, even still, Runner 3's not on Xbox. You got to tell the Choice guys to show some Xbox some love.
Is Runner 3 not on Xbox?
Nope.
You know, I didn't know that.
Now you know. Knowing's half the battle.
I will take that back to them because that's actually surprising. But yeah, I don't know what the Bubsy plans are for Xbox. It is hitting Switch this summer, but that's a default for every video game made these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Switch is pretty cool. I miss mine. I need to get it. I need to get one again. I need these new models to come out.
Did you get rid of your Switch?
I had to sell my Switch so I could go to Mag.
Oh, I think I knew that. I think you told me that. I forgot. Yeah.
I mean, most of my stuff was digital, so I mean, once I get another one, I'll have games again. So
yeah.
I'm just kind of more disappointed in myself because I had Dead Cells on there and I've been wanting to play it like really bad.
I still need to get that.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's
I hear.
Dead Cells is on Xbox, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, it's on PC, too. I just don't want to have to buy it again.
Look, if parents all across the world can buy Minecraft on 748 devices.
I mean, I have Minecraft on too. Like 4.
See? So. You can have Dead Cells on too.
Yeah, but I also acquired them over long spans of time because that game's been out for a long time.
Dead Cells has been out a while.
Yeah, it's definitely been out long enough to warrant a second purchase.
Yeah. There's an indie sale too, so maybe? I don't know. I haven't looked. I think it might just be working.
It's definitely been less than a year ago that I bought it.
And?
Yeah.
For sure.
Buying a game twice in a year is not too bad. That's pretty good.
I think they just put out some DLC for it.
They did, yeah.
I need to get that.
I have no excuse of buying it again, mainly just because, well, you know what? My one game purchased for myself recently has been Mortal Kombat, and that's like all I've been jamming, so.
Is that all you're playing, Chris? Anything else?
Right this very second I'm playing Diablo, but that's not a shock, right?
No, not at all.
It's the mobile one, right?
No, I'm still waiting.
Just wanted to make sure.
Still waiting. I'm going to try it.
I know.
I'd be remiss to say that I wouldn't, but like, you know, I don't know. See how it goes. It was funny because I saw like some sort of article recently that was like, oh yeah, the Diablo devs realized that like they really missed the mark with their BlizzCon. They're like, oh, now they want to talk about it? I'm like, they were like, yeah, we should have like stressed that we're not like leaving our PC players. They're like, well, you could have did that when you said, hey, we're going to also make something for PC, but you didn't.
Could have said that when instead of saying, don't you have phones? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe you can pre-register for this Diablo.
Oh, I did.
Diablo.
I did. I have been playing, like, I have, like, a mobile game that I was, like, playing recently that I thought was actually kind of neat. What the hell is the name of it? Let me just open up my phone and see. Archero?
Haven't heard of it.
Or Arc Hero? But it's archery, so I would assume it's Archero. It's actually kind of like a dungeon crawlery, like roguelike thing. Super simplistic controls, but you're an archer, but you only shoot when you stop. So it just auto shoots at whatever like character is nearest to you.
Mm.
But it's neat. It's gameplay's cool. It's not super heavy on microtransactions. Basically, you could watch a couple ads to like to get like extra currencies and stuff, but I haven't put anything into it. I have no plans on putting any money into it, but I like trying to find some of those mobile games
for 2 red hot pennies.
No, I mean, like, they're actually pretty good. They're actually pretty good with the rewards that you get for watching an ad or something like that. Like, if I'm going to play a free-to-play game on a mobile and it has an opportunity for, like, little amounts of ads that I could choose that I want to, it doesn't just automatically pop up. Those are the ones that I tend to, like, play for a bit and see what I think of them. Well, I don't know.
Game's on iOS, so I'm going to give it a try if you're singing its praises.
It's pretty neat, man. I think you'll dig it. Like, for a mobile game, again, like, you know, it's 2019. We shouldn't be having to, like, you know, have that as a condition for wanting to play a game. But for a mobile game, it's a lot of fun. I dig it.
I'll have to give it a go. What about you, Grant? Like, what are you playing?
Before we talk about what I'm playing, can I say that have you heard of the game Data Wing?
No.
It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite mobile game ever. And it's completely free, no microtransactions. So you guys should give that a shot. I still have not found a game that has taken the trophy for my favorite game ever. It still has my favorite game ever.
Data Wing.
Yeah, DATAWING. It's like that a weird futuristic. It's like a weird futuristic racing thing, and it's got this vaporwave soundtrack, which I got all into, and I freaking love it. And it's completely free, like 100% free. So. Give that a peek.
Looks like I'm playing another game tonight.
I feel like I reinstall it once a year and play a few levels and then uninstall it again. I may have to install it again. You know what? I'm just going to install it right now. Here we go.
It's apparently game of the day.
The day?
Yeah, on iOS.
Is that an iOS thing? Oh, okay. There you go.
Game of the day, Data Wing.
Game of
Race
the day.
Through cyberspace in a retro extravaganza.
Oh my God, that's the noise the cars make. That's fantastic.
That's like, dude, I don't know why, but that has become one of my favorite sound effects of all time now.
What, just an, like, air horn?
Yeah, but that specific, like, the rap air horn.
Yeah.
Like that one, that's the, yeah.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, that one.
DJ Huber.
DJ Huber. That's what you should do, Chris. You should become a DJ.
Just a crash noise. There you go. I'm helping you out. I'm your soundboard.
So I bought I got a sample pad for my gigs and stuff, and now I'm just loading it up with the dumbest stuff ever. So
like
that's definitely. I have an entire kit full of just sounds of Patrick from SpongeBob.
Really?
Oh, I was like, Patrick who?
Patrick Starr. I thought you knew. I mean,
Stewart, dog.
Patrick Starr.
Like, one, two, three, make it show, you know?
Yeah, there's some good ones. So I have the one where they make the band for the Super Bowl halftime show, basically. When he gets the trombone put on his head, and he opens the door up, and he goes, to the owner of the white sedan, he left your lights on. So I use that at least once a show now. I've got I play a mean belly, and then it's just the, you know, him hitting his stomach and stuff. Because it's a longer one, you know, when you're doing sound check and they want to check levels of something, you got to give them something that's like not in the show. You don't want to give anything away.
Yep.
So I got that one, and then I've got like what else? The one where they're in Sandy's bubble. And he's like, they run out of air, and he's just like, "What kind of place is this?" Like, that's another one. So wow. I got a lot of them. So, and then I started adding, like, we play American Band. So at the very beginning of it, I have the chord from America, Fuck Yeah, like just bring America, bring America, then just cowbell, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. So that's
so good.
I like dumb shit like that, so.
Shit is my favorite shit.
Well, because, the only reason why I started, like, wanting to put dumb stuff on it, there was a mutual drummer in the scene who passed away, like, like last year or so, and him and I had a conversation about, like, the kind of stuff that he would put onto his pad, and the singer of his band was Janet, and he took the one clip from, like, the Cleveland show, or Family Guy of... him going just like, "Oh, that's Janet. She thinks she's real important." It's like little dumb stuff like that. So I don't know. It just kind of like inspired me to be like, you know what? I need to like loosen up people at a show anyway. So if the first thing that you hear during a sound check is something like, "The inner mechanisms of my mind are an enigma," like, Like, you're just like, okay, you know what? This will be a good time. Like,
this will be entertaining.
Have you ever put like a bunch of applause in there, and then when you're done with a song, smack it?
So oh yeah, just, yeah. See,
it's like, so it's funny. I had my roommate's band used to do that, and people would just freaking clap, and then they were like, well, they wouldn't stop clapping for a second, and they would look around and see nobody was clapping, and yep. it's the most hilarious thing. Oh my yep. god.
Well, yeah. So we're doing the one other band that I'm in, we're doing For Those About to Rock. So like I have 4 different Canon samples that trigger at the same time as soon as I hit one of the pads. So it's just like, we played it over on Saturday and it was, oh man, it was like actual cannons going off. It was great.
Love it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll have to add that. I'm going to add like some, like the Nintendo pause sound, stuff like that. So if there's like ever a break in a song, I could just like hit that first.
Yes.
Oh, so good. Oh, man. Well, we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I'll tell you what I'm playing real quick. I didn't get there.
Oh, yeah.
I just downloaded Layers of Fear 2.
Oh.
And I'm super hyped because I freaking loved the first one. It scared me and my wife to death. So I'm excited to play that this week at some point, or at least get started. I think it's on I didn't watch any trailers on purpose. I think it takes place on a boat. But did you guys play the first one?
Yeah,
I've played both of them.
I got the first one for free, right? Because that was like a Games with Gold or something, wasn't it?
Probably.
It was.
Never played it, but that's, I mean, I don't know. Horror games normally aren't my thing.
Cool. It is pretty
We're actually going to be reviewing it later on in the show.
Cool. Oh. I will tune back in.
You'll have to.
Oh, I see a cat walking.
Second kitty.
Kitty. Kitty cam is a success.
Oh, Eats Kitty has changed predator. Positions. Kitty has turned slightly. It's not a picture. It's a video. I bought Moonlighter because I've heard good things and it was on sale. It's on sale for $10 off this week on Switch.
Nice.
So I picked that up. And then Rage 2 should be coming in the mail in the next week or so. I sold a couple things and got that one used. I know exactly what it is. I want the Doom shooting with a really dumb open world. I want to put the game in German because I hear the voice acting is trash. And then I want to shoot some shit and open a lot of pink crates.
You know, definitely on my radar too. I just kind of wait. I want to wait until it goes down a bit because I know it's not one that like I need to play right away, but I feel the same way. I want to feel like the Doom shooting because it was so, so satisfying. I want that in an open world. So,
yep. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's like, I think I got it for like $35 used.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Around and sell it. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's already, people are sort of, they've sort of finished it and are selling them off. So,
right.
I'm sure it'll drop here in a little bit. So, I think that's it. What else have I been playing?
Awesome Prime just dropped another 10 biddies. You know what that means.
Ooh, feet.
Dropping bits.
Dropping bits. Grant, have you ever heard that George recorded for the show?
No.
It's great, actually. It's really nice.
Yeah, he recorded a handful of samples. There's a porn star that Nick Manning, that he'll scream out, dropping loads. And George he had fun with it on the one episode. He just kept doing it. And then someone made the joke that it should be dropping bits for when someone drops bits in chat.
Agreed.
So now when someone drops bits, I have 4 different sound clips that I could play. They're just dropping bits all over your fucking face. It's beautiful.
Funny. But yeah, you got to hear them. They're great. You can hear the enthusiasm in his voice.
Oh, I'm sure. It's Norg, after all.
Enthusiasm. There's air quotes there.
No, there's real enthusiasm.
Oh, no. George he's excited to do that voice. It is beautiful. When we're done with this segment of the show, I'll just play all 4 of them on the stream so you can listen to them.
Dig it.
So, yeah, speaking of the end of this segment, should we wrap this up?
What a segue.
Woohoo!
Speaking of dicks.
All right. Well, Chris, Grant, thank you both for coming on and chatting with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Stemmage, and then we're going to be back with more show.
Sounds good.
It does sound good, but you guys won't be here. It'll just be Cole and I.
Nope. Sounds great. Play it now. Play the music. Cue it up. In this clip. I don't know what happens in this clip.
There's probably dicks.
Which clip it is, so it's probably dicks. Speaking of dicks, me and Chris are out of here.
Hey!
Welcome back, Wet Pancakes. Thanks for sticking around. And thanks again to Chris and George, or not Chris and George. What the hell am I saying? Chris and Grant for coming on. We have George on the mind. So that was fun, wasn't it?
It was. Such lovely people.
I love putting up with them and their talk of feet.
That was, yeah. And I still forgot to ask them what their foot size was. Now I'm sad.
Oh, Jesus.
I was working up to it, too, and then I just kept getting sidetracked with everything else that we went on about that never said, what's your shoe size?
They clearly just left about 2 minutes ago, so I'm sure we could just call them right back and get them on again.
It's totally what can happen.
That's exactly what happened with the show.
Speaking
of dicks, a lot of news this week, a lot of news, and hopefully we could get through all of it. The big thing, of course, games with gold and PlayStation Plus were announced this week. Pretty solid lineups from both.
We've had some shitty months, so it's time for them to get their act together.
Well, it is E3 month, so.
They have something. And I think being E3 month is why I'm a little surprised it's not more. It's not necessarily bad. It's just that you would think they would like pull out all the stops and do something mega big.
Well, compared to what we've been getting, this kind
feels
of is
mega
big.
Yeah. In comparison,
our lowered expectations have yielded fruit at long last.
It's true.
But let's see. Games with Gold for June on Xbox 360 from the 1st through the 15th is Portal Still Alive.
I don't have that, and I'm so excited because I have never.
I'm amazed you don't have it.
I know. I've always wanted to play Portal, and I just never had it.
Well, here you go.
I got to find time at some point, but now I finally get to play Portal.
Just skip a couple of Rocket League matches. You'll be good.
You monster.
Okay, how am I ever going to
get the grand champion? I still haven't done the raid yet. Saturday. I'm scheduled for Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also on Xbox 360 from the 16th through the 30th of June is Earth Defense Force 2017, which is another pretty awesome game.
I don't have it. I don't know what it is, but I've heard the name before.
It's kind of like a B-movie video game. It's campy and over the top, and you're murdering bugs, alien bugs.
I'm in for this.
They're trying to take over the world.
I love campy B-movie shit.
Then you will love Earth Defense Force.
Nice.
I'm kind of surprised and bummed that the new EDF games haven't been on Xbox. They've only been on PS4.
They made new ones?
Yeah.
That's why I'd heard of them, but I wasn't familiar with them.
Could be.
They why are cool they not games, on though. Xbox?
I don't know, because they don't like us.
Rude.
Anyway, on Xbox One, through the entire month of June, NHL 19. I'm not sure how to feel about this one, considering I have EA Access.
I don't give a fuck about sports games.
Well, that's another, you know, another tipping point there, I guess.
But to be fair, we don't get sports games very often. So,
and this is 2 months in a row, because we just had the golf club.
That's true. Oh, see, I didn't even remember. I haven't even installed that. Because I just don't do sports games. But, I mean, we haven't gotten many of them, so I can't really bitch about it. But I can, because it's 2 months in a row.
I'm not too bothered about it, besides the fact that, again, I have EA Access. So I'm pretty sure it's already in the vault as well. So that feels like a missed pick on my end completely, but for those who don't have it, you know, full $60 game.
Right.
Can't argue with that.
That's true. And it's not, you know, it's not an outdated one.
Yeah.
Could have been 2018.
They could have been dicks and been like 2014.
Yeah. And they didn't. They went with a new one. So, you know, concession. It's fine.
Not bad.
No.
I'll let it slide. It's a big enough game that, you know, those who are excited about it, it justifies it, because that's a full price game.
It's true.
So rock on. And then June 16th through July 15th, Rivals of Aether.
I was surprised by that. And I shouldn't have been. I don't know why. I'm just oddly surprised by it. I'm happy.
I'm excited about it.
I mean, I have it, but I'm happy to see it. Be games with gold, maybe it'll get a boost in its player base and...
Which I don't think was struggling to begin with. I'm pretty sure Rivals of Aether has a pretty committed fan base.
It's definitely if I'm not mistaken, it already has like esports and everything too.
Yeah.
Small time. They do tournaments and shit for it. So, I mean, it's not that it's struggling, but maybe it'll get it out in front of a few extra people who wouldn't have noticed it in the past.
Yeah. Overall, good month for games with gold.
Yeah. Not mad at it.
It is a solid month. PlayStation Plus also has a solid month with Sonic Mania, which is pretty awesome.
Okay.
And then Borderlands the Handsome Collection.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, really solid lineup for PlayStation Plus.
That's right, though. That's all they get now.
Yeah, just the two.
Bitches.
But Borderlands is kind of like two games itself, so they get three. Yeah.
Borderlands definitely makes up for it, you know, being shortchanged elsewhere.
Yeah, which lends to some speculation. There are rumors that there's going to be new Borderlands 2 DLC at E3 that's supposed to bridge the gap into Borderlands 3, and them giving away Borderlands the Handsome Collection kind of gives that some validity.
How does that give a validity, though? Wouldn't it just be, like, they do that all the time on Xbox when a new one's about to come out, they give away the old one to try to drum up hype. I don't necessarily see why that would mean that there's DLC coming.
To build up hype for the new game.
Yeah, but how long has it been since the old one was out?
A long-ass time.
Okay. If they were going to add anything to it, wouldn't they have done it by now?
Yeah, but now they're trying to build up hype for Borderlands 3.
They do not need that kind of hype. We're not talking about a little indie game here. That is like saying, Call of Duty is going to add... Well, later announcement is going to make this seem irrelevant, but Call of Duty is going to add free DLC for the next Call of Duty. It's like, nah, they don't do that shit. That's AAA. They don't play on indie terms.
Well, there's no word on if this is going to be free DLC. It could very well be paid DLC.
It would still be like, why go back and create something new for an old ass engine and everything? Why take away resources from your new game just to drum up hype when everybody's already shit in the bed excited over it?
I want to give Borderlands fans a reason to jump back into Borderlands too.
Nah, Borderlands fans are already got a reason to jump into Borderlands. It's because it's Borderlands, and that's what they do.
Oh, well. If that's the rumor's true, I'm excited.
I'm a negative Nancy on this one. I don't think y'all are getting your goddamn DLC. I think you're got a whole lot of wishful thinking going on that isn't going to amount to anything. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to be the realist.
I mean, the rumor even said that it's called Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary, which if it has a title, that sounds kind of close to being real.
Yeah, but
I guess they can make it up, too.
I mean, that's how fan fiction works.
Guess we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to be right. Sorry.
I hope not. I hope you're wrong. I would like to see new DLC. I think it'd be cool. But in other Sony news, they've confirmed that Death Stranding, the new game from Hideo Kojima, will be releasing this November 8th.
Oh.
Yes. So it is right around the corner.
I didn't realize it had a release date. I did see the trailer. Did you see the collector's edition for this game?
I saw the glowing baby thing. It's, I don't know.
I can't think of a thing that gamers want less than...
than a glowing baby.
I don't know. Why?
I don't know why either.
Like... Metro Exodus Collector's Edition came with an actual gas mask. Death Stranding comes with a clone baby and a bubble baby.
Hey, whatever works, right?
I just don't, like, who? What are you gonna put that on a shelf in your living room? And what are people gonna think when they come in and visit your? And I already have people ask me weird questions about my State of Decay sign. And it's not even anything except for a little dinosaur with a gas hose thing for a gas nozzle for a head. Like, it's the most mundane thing ever. It just says Bronto Gas on it. And then people are like, the heck is that?
Well, I mean, you've seen behind me.
Yeah.
I have a decapitated torso for Dead Island Riptide.
It is true. Oops. That is true.
Yeah.
You did buy that. Joe, where are you going to put your bubble baby?
Oh, I'm not getting the bubble
baby. You are going to get a bubble baby.
No. I'm sitting this one out. I think unfiltered Kojima is just a bit too weird for me. I have all the trailers I've seen, it looks like it would be an amazing movie if it made sense. I just don't know how it's going to play, and I'm honestly not too interested in playing that game. I would rather watch someone play it. I'll maybe Twitch.
Like, I'd find somebody to watch, but I'm not going to run out and get a PlayStation for it.
Yeah.
And that's sad because I love Norman Reedus. And I'm like, all of the elements are there for something that I would be into. Like, I love quirky, weird shit like that. The weirder shit is, the happier I am. But even with Death Stranding, I'm like, I watch the trailer and I go, I don't understand what the actual gameplay is. Like, why are you doing any of the things that you're doing? And all I understand, like, well, why are there bubble babies? And there's no logic to any of it. You can't point to any one aspect and be like, I know why that's a thing. You just don't. And yeah. I feel like that's going to be the whole game. Like, you're going to beat the game and you're still going to put the controller down and be like, I don't know what the fuck I just did.
Yeah. I don't know, but I am going to quietly and unknowingly open a soda and you're not going to be able to tell at all.
No idea. What'd you do?
No clue. Nothing.
Why'd you get so quiet, Joe?
I was whispering.
Oh. Are we ASMR now?
Yes.
I don't know how well my mic picks up.
My Pepsi was empty, so I'm switching over to Diet Coke.
I hate it. Yes. ASMR.
I had blueberry Pepsi, and now I have strawberry guava Diet Coke.
Wow. Was the blueberry Pepsi good?
Mm-hmm. It tastes like blueberry juice with fizzy in it.
Oh.
It's a lot more blueberry than I thought it would be.
The only funky flavor that I've had so far is the orange vanilla Coke. I know it was okay, but it could have had a stronger vanilla or a stronger orange flavor to it. Like, you could smell the orange, but you only tasted vanilla.
Try the Coke Zero.
Oh.
Orange vanilla Coke Zero. It has a more orangey taste.
Okay.
It's not necessarily better. It depends on your tastes, but it has a more of an orangey flavor than the standard.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but whatever. A little more Sony news. Reports are saying that The Last of Us 2 is going to be delayed into 2020, likely in the February timeframe.
Is February 2020 going to be the new February 2019?
Probably.
Like when all the fucking games come out? Probably. And Sonic. Sonic got delayed too. It's even creeping over into game movies. Holy fuck.
I'm sure Last of Us was delayed because of the Sonic movie, and now that Absolutely. They moved it to February, Sonic's in February too, and they're like, son of a bitch.
Right?
We just can't escape Sonic.
Everybody's going to spend their money going to see that movie, and ain't nobody going to be able to afford The Last of Us 2.
I'm excited for Last of Us 2. I'm worried that it might be a bit too violent for me. I've mentioned that in the past, like seeing some of the trailers for it. It's just, it's really visceral, and it might be a bit too much for me, but I don't know. I'm going to try it. It's a violent game.
Did you have problems with Mortal Kombat 11?
No, surprisingly. I think it's the cartoonishness of it.
Ah, yeah.
Instead of how humor. Serious and realistic it is in The Last of Us.
Like, yeah, I've never seen so anybody play The Last of Us, and I've never, like, I don't know any, like, I'd recognize the characters, but I don't know anything else about it. I think I only realized, like, 2 or 3 months ago that it was actually a zombie game. I was like, oh, I don't know how I didn't know that. But I was completely oblivious to it.
Oh, my throat is all gunky and I don't know why. Probably all the sugary drinks that I have.
Possible.
Let's see, what other news was there? Xbox announced that they're developing an Xbox Game Pass specifically for PC. It is going to have over 100 games from over 75 different content partners, including Bethesda, Deep Silver, Devolver, Sega, and more. This will be a separate service from the current Game Pass, but it has been reported that it will be included in Game Pass Ultimate.
Wow, and we know the price of Game Pass Ultimate. That's true. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would imagine Game Pass PC is going to be another $10 subscription. So if you're getting two $10 subscriptions a month and then live on top of that for $15, that is insane if true.
I wonder how it'll work, because you don't need live to... We don't need to pay for any kind of online service to pay to play multiplayer games on PC.
What are you thinking?
I'm just trying to figure out, like, when they bring, like, Gears and stuff to Steam, they're not gonna put it in a position to where they'll say, oh, Steam players have to pay extra for it. But then it'd be shitty to say, okay, but it's an Xbox Game Studio game and you have to pay extra to play it on Xbox. Like, how is the multiplayer paywall going to work?
It's just going to be free on PC like it is
now.
That's
shitty.
That's how it is now. If you play Sea of Thieves with someone on PC, they're not paying for gold.
But don't you have to sign into Gold to get the achievements and have an account?
No, you sign into Xbox Live, account. But you don't have to pay for a Gold subscription to play on Windows 10.
Rude.
How have you not known this?
Because I don't ever do anything on PC. But no, like, I hadn't really thought about it, honestly, either. But it does seem out of sorts. But then at the same time, if Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is going to include Game Pass and Live and Game Pass for PC, all at the $15 price point, essentially, you could well say, well, then that makes Live free and you get a discount on Game Pass for PC.
You could twist it however way it makes you feel better. Sure. Yeah.
But I mean... It requires a little mental gymnastics, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But Carnage said, honestly, I think that happen is eventually Gold will be phased out and Ultimate will be the only service. That's kind of what I'm leaning toward.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Like, I do think they will phase out Gold. But then I'm afraid of what happens to games with Gold.
That program probably ends if they get rid of Gold. I don't know. It's all speculation.
Do
no one knows.
PlayStation us.
we will find out more about Game Pass PC at E3. As you mentioned that they're going to be bringing more games to Steam, including Gears 5 and the Age of Empires 1 through 3 definitive editions. And then Phil Spencer earlier today confirmed in a tweet that there will be 14 first party Xbox Game Studios titles shown at this year's E3, more than they've ever had in the past.
Right. And there's a couple, if you think about it, there's a couple that we should already be able to expect to be in that list.
Yeah.
But that still leaves a lot that we don't know.
It makes me excited. They might actually have a solid lineup at this year's E3. Let's hope a few of them are AAA releases. Like, you know, I love indies, but I hope they're not all like $15, $20 titles.
I don't think they will be.
I
suspect we will see Ori because Will of the Wisp isn't out yet. So.
Although that's probably going to be like 30, I'm guessing.
Does it officially have a release date? Have they said?
No.
It still doesn't, does it? You know what? When I was thinking about that the other day, I was like, I about half expect them to go, and Ori is available now!
I could see them doing that at E3.
Yeah, at E3. And so that's about what I'm half expecting out of Ori, because they've been so, like, hush on a release date for it. But there's been a lot of indication that it's done. It's just waiting. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just, that's probably my most potentially accurate speculation for E3 is that Ori's done. It's released today. It's on Game Pass. Go play that shit. You know,
that would be an awesome moment for sure.
Yeah, I think I think that's
Carnage thinks they're going to do that with Halo Reach for Master Chief Collection.
No, I don't think it's ready enough.
No.
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, well.
I'm not going to like shit on the idea completely, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's because there was that leak about Halo Reach being playable at Microsoft stores on the 9th. And then they backtracked on that super hard. And they're like, no, that's not possible. That's not going to happen. And like, so I think maybe they were hoping to have that be the case, but I don't think it's going to pan out.
I don't know. We'll find out in a few weeks.
Yep.
That's all we could keep saying.
In the meantime, we'll just have so many questions and so many theories.
And zero answers.
Like 9 out of 10 of my theories will contradict each other before this is all said and done. It's fine. I'm a professional.
Nice. All right. Let's see. What other news is there? I originally had a piece of news that said Dauntless has surpassed 4 million players following the launch on Xbox, PlayStation, and the Epic Games Store.
Right.
But then like 2 days later, it was 6 million. So I had to update my news piece.
Your note is out of date before we even get to record.
Yeah, pretty much. So Dauntless is blowing the fuck up.
Yes. It's doing very well.
I'm still playing it. I'm still having fun with it.
Yeah. I don't think Studa ever installed it. So
that son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's... I'm at the mercy of my friends when it comes to things like that, so I haven't had a chance to play it much anymore.
Yeah, well, play with me.
I will.
Play with me and Ian. Me and Ian.
Carry me. But do you know how rare it is for me to be carried in a game?
Seriously.
I can get behind that. Especially because we've been getting ready for the raid in the division, and I've literally been trying to carry everybody to get them raid ready, and that's all I've done for 2 weeks. If it's not a review... I've been getting people raid ready. And I'm so tired of carrying people.
It's okay. Ian can carry us in Dauntless. Carnage is saying Dauntless is good, but he doesn't think it'll ever surpass Fortnite. I don't think it's meant to.
I don't think it's meant to. Nah. I think it's
completely separate games.
Yeah. It doesn't have that stream hype quality that, you know, and it's just the genre, it just doesn't, but that doesn't mean it's not a good time to just sit and whack around at some of the behemoths.
Oh yeah, I'm still having fun with it. I told you, I've been in such a gaming funk lately, and I am playing Dauntless. Every day I am firing up Dauntless and playing and doing a hunt or two, and I just keep coming back to it. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
That's good, though.
Yes,
that's,
it is good.
That's good to find something that, reinvigorates you to gaming.
Yeah. Unlike Ouya, who's not getting revitalized at all.
Oh, my God.
Razer is suspending Ouya services on June 25th. So if you still have one of those Ouya little micro consoles and for some reason it's still hooked up, get your purchases done now because it's going away. I think the bigger news is that Ouya services are still active. I had no clue that it was still live.
I didn't even realize that. I don't know. I guess I didn't even realize that it was like publicly available. The last thing I ever heard of in Ouya was Kickstarter. And I don't think I heard shit about it after that.
Oh yeah, they sold them in stores. I saw them in Target a few times.
Target.
Yeah. Target.
Wow. Target. I didn't ever realize that. I don't know if I thought it didn't get funded or what, but the whole idea of an Ouya just fell off the radar to me. Like, how many times have we had developers on here and been like, where can they get your game? How many of them have ever said Ouya?
None.
Okay.
Pretty sure we haven't had anyone with a game on Ouya. We've joked about it.
Yeah. Well, joke's on us now, huh? Yeah.
That'll show us. It's a sad day for Ouya owners everywhere. So
the like five of them.
Some other news. A Ubisoft Pass Premium was spotted on the Ubisoft store under the subscription category, leading to speculation that Ubisoft might be starting its own EA Access-like service. Because this is what we need, a dozen competing services.
I'm not particularly mad about it, though. I mean, it's good to have multiple options, because then they have that competition with each other, and then it's a better deal for gamers, because they all have to compete to make it a better deal to get your money.
I would rather them, like, partner up with Games with Gold or with Game Pass or with, you know, even partner up with EA Access.
To be fair. Instead
of making another service that it's something else we have to pay for.
To be fair, though, Ubisoft is really good about adding games to Games with Gold.
True. Very true.
They have been big supporters of Games with Gold. And to be fair, they've also used Game Pass.
Yeah.
The Division was in Game Pass for a while before The Division 2 came out.
True.
To drum up hype. So, I mean, they're fairly supportive. And I buy enough Ubisoft games that if they had a pass, I'd probably pay for it.
if for nothing else, then
like if they did the whole 10%, 20% discount on Ubisoft DLC or whatever, I'd be like, shut up and take my money.
That discount on Division DLC.
Yeah. Look, season passes are expensive.
True.
Division 1 was around for 3 years. So they've already taken 100 out of me for Division 2. We're just getting started, motherfuckers.
Oh, Christ. See, I'm curious by the fact that it's called Ubisoft Pass Premium. Like, yeah. I wonder if they're going to do, like, EA or Origin Access Premier, where they have new games day one on the service, or if it's going to be more like EA Access, where there's a waiting period until they're in the vault.
It depends on who they see as their competition, right? Because in a way, if they're going to try to, like, hold up against Game Pass, and in all honesty, if Ubisoft had, say, even if it was $10, $15 a month, and they had every Ubisoft game day one, with a discount on DLC, would you pay for it?
Probably.
Okay, same. I would too. So, I mean, it's not necessarily the worst idea they've had, if that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things that Microsoft did was put all of their games in Game Pass day one. From a consumer standpoint, that's going to push so many others to have to do that too. Like EA's been skating by, oh, it'll come to the vault eventually, but you don't know when. No, fuck it. I'm going to cough up my $10 to Game Pass because I know when I'm getting shit. I know when I'm going to get to play it.
Yeah.
If Ubisoft did that too, it would be hard to pass.
Yeah, I guess so.
See?
It's just more things to pay for. Another subscription. It does
suck for another subscription. I know, and I understand.
Yet another.
As somebody who pays for Amazon Prime and Netflix and you know, I don't pay for Game Pass and stuff. I win those codes. But I understand. Like, when,
fuck you.
I know. I'm sorry. Jesus. But if I could win codes for Netflix, I would.
I'm sure you can.
Probably somewhere. I've won Redbox codes before when they had them. They used to have a streaming service that you could pay for monthly. And I used to win codes for that.
Shocker.
Yeah. But, I mean, I get the negative effect of just feeling like you're being nickel and dimed for subscriptions. But it's also hard to, like, ignore the benefit that it gives to consumers. Because at least, like, with Game Pass, they do go out of their way to make it worth your money.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I've got $15 just laying around...
True.
If it's burning a hole in my credit card.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, some other news. There are rumors that The Witcher 3 might be getting a Switch release this September. This according to a, quote, reliable source from a distributor. There's no word on if this would be a streaming game, a play on a more powerful Switch model, or if it's just complete horseshit, but it's a rumor nonetheless.
That is, a tight fit. I don't know that the Switch could run The Witcher.
I don't know either, but I guess we'll find out. And Latino Heat just dropped 200 bitties.
Nice.
You know what that means?
I do.
Oh, dropping bits!
Love it.
Love fantastic it. Every time.
It is.
I need to figure out a way to make a dropping bits emote that wouldn't get, like, terms of service violated.
Make an animated Norg head.
Oh, God. I haven't tried to run an animation program. I haven't animated in years. I don't know if I could still do it. I guess I could with some dedication, but...
Just, like, start with his head, have the mouth open up, and then it just scrolls, drop in bits.
That would have to be a BTTV emote, because Twitch doesn't let you have animations.
Yeah. It'd be worth it, though.
It would.
It would totally be worth it. Last bit of news that I have is that Konami has unveiled the full lineup of the Contra Anniversary Collection.
Wow.
Yeah, the full lineup is Contra Arcade... Okay. Contra NES, Contra Famicom, which is Japanese version of the NES.
Yeah.
Super Contra Arcade, Super C NES, Contra 3, The Alien Wars on Super Nintendo, Super Probotector Alien Rebels, which is the European version of Contra 3.
Okay.
Because Probotector was the original Contra in Europe, where all the humans were swapped out with robots because of violence issues.
Violence.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
How we have come a long way.
I know. Contra Hardcore on the Genesis, Probotector on the Mega Drive, which is hardcore from, you know, Europe. And then Operation C on the Game Boy. In addition, six of the games, Contra Arcade, Super Contra Arcade, Super Contra on the NES, Contra 3 Alien Wars on Super Nintendo, Contra Hardcore on the Genesis, and Operation C on the Game Boy, they'll be getting Japanese versions and a free update to those who buy the collection.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of content on that collection.
That is nuts.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I don't have that nostalgia factor with Contra. I don't remember playing it. I probably did, but I don't remember it. But I can understand why people who do have that nostalgia factor are excited. That's a shit ton of games.
Yeah, Carnage is asking if it's the same as Hardcore Uprising on the 360. No, not at all. Hardcore Uprising is a whole new game in the Contra vein, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the news I have. Anything else you want to talk about?
Call of Duty released a trailer today.
Yay. Tell us about it.
It is, in fact, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So now we have Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare Remastered, and then Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and they're all different games.
Yes.
That's the most Call of Duty thing Call of Duty could ever do. You just can't. This is from the same publishing marketing team that decided to let Black Ops 4 be four lines instead of a one and a V.
So yes.
We're not at all surprised that this is the path they decided to go down.
Not at all. I'm not shocked in the least.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's very good. Captain Price is back. Everybody's much excited. It looks incredible. I'm going to try to hold reservation, though. Like, when they tweeted yesterday that they were going to release the trailer, I literally retweeted it with, please don't fuck this up. Please don't fuck this up. Because that's still how I'm feeling about this. There was some additional exciting news, though.
Which
that,
is?
Besides just the trailer. And that is that there will not be a season pass for this Call of Duty. The DLC will be free.
Interesting. What is going on at Activision? Why are they making this decision?
Right.
It's confusing me.
There will be a campaign.
Thank God.
There will also be co-op levels aside apart from campaign and multiplayer. I don't know if anybody remembers. Well, of course people remember because everybody remembers trying to get that damn Mile High Club achievement. But the Modern Warfare series had these like co-op missions that you could do that were separate from the campaign and multiplayer. So they have brought those back, and that is pretty cool to see. And there will also be crossplay between Xbox, PC, and PS4.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
First time Call of Duty has ever had crossplay at all, and it's going to be across everything.
That is cool.
Except Switch, fuck y'all. Yeah, I don't get nothing.
You can suck a dick, Nintendo. I take it back. Please let us review your games.
Please. But that was pretty big. Pretty awesome, says he don't remember. Of course you don't, because I said everybody that played Call of Duty remembers. But it was a big deal that they had those special ops missions and that you could take along a friend, because that was before Call of Duty had attempted a cooperative campaign, which even still, we've only had one Call of Duty was a co-op campaign, and it was bad. You didn't hear that from me. That was the ghost in the microphone.
Obviously.
Yeah. That's the one that whispered. She's all into ASMR. She's a freak.
Oh, Jesus.
But Carnage is worried that they'll have zombie mode. I don't think they will. Not in a Modern Warfare game. I think they'll forgo it just for the co-op special missions. And I'm not necessarily upset about that. There was an article not too long ago rumoring that Sledgehammer and Raven were not going to do the 2020 Call of Duty, and that instead they were taking it back to the 2-year development cycle. So even though we just got a Treyarch game recently with Black Ops 4, they're going to be doing the one in 2020 as well. And
I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah, it's, well, you know what the big question with that is? They had 3 years on Black Ops 4, and that shit came out without a campaign.
Yeah, what are they going to do with only 2 years to work on the game?
Infinity Ward, they've got a big task ahead of them here. And I don't know how well it's going to pan out. I don't know if maybe Activision may have pulled Sledgehammer and Raven off of their own. The theory was that because their games were shitty as far as the Call of Duty franchise goes, they were kind of the worst ones. Maybe they were being shuffled back into more of a support role. And maybe that's what we've seen happen, and therefore Modern Warfare being able to have campaign, multiplayer, and the co-op special missions. Maybe they were pulled off to help with that.
Maybe.
Because that's what they did before they were allowed to release their own bad games. that were bad. Bad. Bad.
Anyway, as you were... They were bad. We get it.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out and if it's any good, because they've got a chore for it. They fuck up Modern Warfare and Call of Duty's toast. Is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. I think it'll still sell year after year.
It will still sell, but it will be Infinite Warfare over again.
I guess we'll see. Again, all we can ever say. I guess we'll see. Prime wanted me to mention the new songs on Rock Band 4 this week.
Oh, yeah.
I forget the one, but the big one that I care about is a new Breaking Benjamin song, Tourniquet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that one.
How many times have you played it?
So far, just once. But it only just came out today.
There's still no excuse. I expect better from you, Joe.
I got my play in, and I beat Awesome, so I was good.
That's the goal that really matters.
Yes, of course.
he says you did it twice.
I didn't play it twice. I only played it once. Also, Prime played it twice that I know of.
Okay.
I only played it once, though.
Now he says lies, so one of it's fibbing somewhere.
I'll pull up my my play count for Rivals, and I should only have the one song on there. Because we already hit a Bloodstone tier last week, so we're at max tier, so we don't have to worry about playing anymore for the next 2 weeks. And I figured I'm just going to play this one song, and that's it.
Wow.
So I have one song play. But yeah, can you believe it's been over 4 years of Rock Band DLC?
That's really impressive support.
Which is longer than their consecutive run from the first generation.
Is it?
Yeah, because they took weeks off during that run. This has been 4 continuous years every single week. That's ridiculous.
You know, next week y'all are going to get like Old Town Road or some shit.
You never know.
Starting to get slim pickings around here. It's a dual pack, Old Town Road and Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to think if any of those are in the game already. I can't keep track. There's 2,600 songs in the game now, so I can only keep track of so many.
That's nuts.
Prime said yes, it is, so...
Achy Breaky Heart is already in there, or it has to be Achy Breaky Heart. Surely not.
Why am I coughing so much today? What the hell?
I don't know. You gotta lay off the wacky tobacco.
Never. No, he said it's in the store, so.
Holy hell.
There you go. Don't tear my heart, my achy breaky. Anyway, we got games to talk about. Are you ready to dive into the reviews?
We might as well go.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Layers of Fear 2, developed by Bloober Team, published by Gun Media, released May 28th on Xbox One, PC, and PS4 for $29.99. Layers of Fear 2 is a first-person psychological horror game with an emphasis on exploration and story. Players control a Hollywood actor who heeds the call of an enigmatic director to take the lead on a lead role in a film shot aboard an ocean liner. Beware, for all may not truly be what it seems. Cole, tell us about Layers of Fear 2.
It's so much fear, P.
Like, so much.
Don't play this without an adult diaper. The struggle will be real. So first and foremost, oh God, Joe. First and foremost, if you have not played the first Layers of Fear, what are you fucking doing? But second, you will be okay. You could play Layers of Fear 2. The stories do not coincide, so you would not be spoiled in any way as to the first one. However, the gameplay is fairly similar. There's a heavy reliance on exploration, like you said. There's plenty of jump scares. If you cannot hack a jump scare,
no, no,
then you might want to steer clear. I will say that I didn't feel like the jump scares were as prominent. They were much more subtle. If you'll remember in the first Layers of Fear, if you played it, like you would be walking down a hallway and a painting would just fly across the room in front of you.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen quite so much. This one far more puts those kind of like little scares into the background and lets it kind of permeate in your brain. Did that happen? Did I just see a thing happen? Or did I just imagine it because I'm scared? While it is a jump scare for all intents and purposes, I don't want to be like, there's no jump scares, you'll be fine. No, you'll be scared. but it just plays on that mental aspect. It really embraces the psychological horror side. In this instance, instead of having a painter going mad trying to create their magnum opus, we have a non-playable director. And then the player is an actor. So the director will speak to you, and it really it's his creation. It's his magnum opus.
Yeah.
And you're a part of it a little more so than you trying to. But at the same time, you're the actor, and this is a big deal for you. This is a big break for you. You still want to do the best you can. So they do kind of coincide, even though it's slightly different. I lost my train of thought.
Proud of you.
The best way to kind of describe the fear element in this one is if you've ever heard the horror stories about how Stanley Kubrick treated his cast when they were filming The Shining. That is so much of an inspiration for this game that there is literally an Easter egg where you can look through a wall and see the Shining set.
Nice.
The carpet, the hallway, everything. A little tricycle. It's incredible. Like, I got scared and I died because I was just so tranced checking out all of the little detail that had went into that Easter egg. And it's that kind of detail carries out the whole game. There are moments, where you are forced to decide if you're going to follow the director's rules or not, for example. And then if you don't, there are punishments for that, but you're still going to get punished even if you do. It's just a different way because the whole idea is to just force a reaction from you, very much like how Stanley Kubrick did his cast. And so that same gameplay mechanic comes into effect. I'm trying not to give out spoilers as well. In addition to the exploration stuff, though, there are also small puzzles. The first game had puzzles as well, but I think the puzzles are a little more prominent. And you feel like you're in a puzzle when you're doing them, as opposed to the first game where it was like, find something specific to carry on the story.
Yeah.
One of the best puzzles that I came across, and again, trying not to give any context or spoilers, but you'll have like a projector in the middle of the room, and you have to flip through the slides because you're locked in this room with no way out. But if you flip through the slides, you find a door frame, and then you find a door. And then as you find them in the proper order, they materialize on the wall, and it's not just the slide. So you have the door frame, then you have the door. Well, then you need a doorknob. Then you need a key. So you have to find these elements in the slides to put it together.
Oh, that's so cool.
To create the actual door to get the fuck out before the big ass monster comes and eats your face off. And that leads me to my one solo complaint about the game.
Let's hear it.
There are chase sequences. Now, the first game had the occasional like chase sequence if you did certain events. But this one, there are far more of them. And it is by far the weakest mechanic in Layers of Fear. And I was so disappointed that they added in more of these damn chase sequences. What makes them a little worse, though, is that when you're being chased by the formless man, it goes black and white. And it has like this old movie look to it, which is cool from an aesthetic standpoint, but it makes it really goddamn hard to get around the obstacles that you can't see in the dark on a black and white screen.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. So
it's, and I'll give it credit. It's incredibly forgiving about these chases, but you're still going to do them 90 times because it just takes a while to learn. There's no forgiveness in it at all. So if you don't hit the doors in just enough time, if you don't get around the boxes in just enough time, if you don't hit the right valve fast enough, you're going to have to do it again. And until you get to where you've memorized it enough and you can just do it one time seamlessly, then you're going to be stuck repeating that until you get that down. That is my biggest problem, by and large, with Layers of Fear. There are plenty of people who will do fine.
Yeah.
But for me personally, that is the weak link. Literally everything else about this game is incredible. There are multiple storylines being told that kind of parallel together, and they're all told beautifully. Everything is nice and seamless. It's aesthetic. It's scary as shit. There's nothing like being on this ship, looking out to the ocean. Everything is gorgeous. The sun is setting, and then you just go in and the hallway is covered in blood.
Oh, God.
It's so well juxtaposed. And then there's a chase scene and it makes me mad. Everything else is good.
I haven't played this one yet. I've been waiting, holding off because I want to play it this weekend with Ashley. I want us to do a joint playthrough. And you're worrying me with how scary you're saying it is.
You're going to be scared. You're genuinely going to be scared. I mean, if you handled the first, you're going to be fine in that regard. But if the first scared the pants off of you, well, then there you go. You're going to be scared.
Well, shit.
I will say I was impressed too with like the sheer amount of options. Like you can choose to turn head bob off. There's a ton of different languages that you can choose from. There's a field of view slider. And all of those things are helpful. I wish that the field of view slider was more useful on the 360 or on 360 on the Xbox One S. It just doesn't make that much of a difference, unfortunately. Mm. I don't think it does. There's also the option to play, lock it down to 30 frames or to play unlimited frames per second. But because I was on an S, I was afraid to try the unlimited frames. I was like, yeah, that's just asking for something to explode.
Yeah.
If you're on an X, though, that's probably a fantastic way to play it.
Shot then.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what you say about it, but I wasn't brave enough to try it. Still, though, at 30 frames, it's a gorgeous game. And there were moments where I was like, I kept stopping and wanting to take screenshots. And I was like, is my embargo up yet? Can I take a screenshot? I didn't know. But so
you
I didn't
have
do it.
Asked me.
I know, but I was playing it like crazy ass hours. Because that's
you
what
still
I
still could have asked me. I might have been up.
But yeah, playing Layers of Fear 2 at 2 a.m. probably not my best idea.
Oh,
probably
no,
added to the therapy aspects.
Probably what I'll be doing too, since Ashley's third shift.
Good luck. Good luck. And oh my God, wear headphones.
Oh man. Well, and then
like hope that your house, like warn your neighbors, be like, yeah, if you hear me screaming, I'm not being murdered.
Technically.
Technically.
Oh Lord. Well, then $30 on Layers of Fear 2, what do you say?
Buy it. Absolutely buy it. Spoiler alert, but this was my game of the week.
Oh, I didn't even get a chance to ask you on the other one.
You don't even need to. Yeah,
I kind of figured it would be though.
I mean, surprise. This is Layers of Fear 1 was one of my favorite games ever. So it was not a stretch for this one to be so enjoyable.
Awesome. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Void Bastards, developed by Blue Man Chew, published by Humble Bundle, released May 29th on Xbox One and PC for $29.99. Inspired by Bioshock and System Shock 2, Void Bastards is a revolutionary new strategy shooter that will test your wits as well as exercise your aim. Can you lead the misfit prisoners of the Void Ark through the derelict spaceships and myriad dangers of the Sargasso Nebula? Why do they have to make such weird words?
Because it looks good in print, but then fools like us have to say it on a show.
Yeah.
And then we sound like dumbasses.
And then I stumble on it, and I look like a moron. Anyway, how's Void Bastards?
Void Bastards is fantastic. I did not expect to like this game as well as I did. I was like, okay, it's a shooter, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to shoot some aliens, and that's going to be about it. No, like, this is a full-on roguelite first-person shooter. Just, it's a blast. I was very surprised and happy.
I had high expectations for this game. This one's been getting a lot of buzz for a while, mainly due to the visual style, which is incredible.
I love this art style. Absolutely. A lot of people have been comparing it to Borderlands, and I get it. But rather than comparing it to Borderlands, I'd like for people to think of it as a comic in motion, because that's what it's meant to look like.
Yes.
And it's cel-shaded and everything, but it just looks like a living comic book. Everything is super vibrant. Unless you're in the dark. Have you played a ship in the dark yet?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That was hard.
It was. With the power off and
Yeah, and you have to go and like find the generator and turn the power back on, and then sometimes it's better just to leave that shit off. Because you then at least when it's off, you don't know what's lurking around the corner.
True.
I have to ask you one important question, Joe.
Okay.
What difficulty did you play it on?
Pussy Crybaby.
Same. Although I will say, I will probably bump the difficulty up because I thought it was too easy on easy peasy mode.
Yeah, I wanted to play on easy peasy to start just to kind of like get into the game first. And yeah. I've been going on a run. I didn't want to stop and change the difficulty.
That's where I'm at too. Like I just want to like see how far I can go, see if I can actually beat it and then do it again with it on higher.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that it's roguelite. I want to go back and talk about that. I love the way that they worked the roguelite element into this, because you are playing with human characters. Although human is kind of in air quotes. Essentially, these are criminals who have been dehydrated. And They can win back freedom and citizenship status if they get rehydrated and go through this. What is a good way to, it's not necessarily a trial, but they have to help these robots essentially complete their task.
Yeah.
Trying not to give out spoilers and still describe it.
It can be tough sometimes.
It is. But I love that the backpack is basically sentient.
Yeah.
and the robot is sentient, and they're the ones that they just like have these, they look like MREs kind of just packages of dehydrated criminals.
Convicts. Yeah. Just pour them into a vat, add some water, and poof, you got a person.
You got a person, hook the backpack up to it. It's incredible. It's
technology,
so creative.
Blows my mind.
And it's only like, I think the year is like 2188 or something like that. You're like, yeah, that's not too far in the future. I could see us being to that point where we just dehydrate convicts and stick them on a shelf.
Yeah, totally.
The best part's when you die and like you ooze out of the backpack as pink goo.
Yes.
That's so good. Now, I will say though, given the roguelite nature and all the procedural generation, not every death feels fair.
Very true.
And I was surprised how far, like there was a reason I was playing on easy mode is because I was afraid like I was going to constantly die. And then not get far enough to make a legitimate review because I'd be stuck and not be able to progress. So when you die and your character comes back, you get to have the gear that you created on your last run. So you're not totally out in the cold, but you do have a different character with like some may have higher health, some may have negative effects. Awesome says he had a character, a player who constantly farted. I have one that was a smoker.
Me too.
And would cough.
Not a cough, yeah.
And that would alert. Although, playing on easy mode, those kind of traits, they're kind of negated because you're playing on easy. You're not really worried about it. There's plenty of resources. You're going to just run around and pick fights for the fun of it anyway, which is fine. I didn't find that the smoker aspect or making the noise. I wasn't trying to do anything stealthy. Yeah. So if you're not worried about that, if you don't want to have to worry about the stealth aspect of it, and if you don't care about whether or not you get the difficulty related achievements, let's play it on easy mode because it's more fun that way. Because yeah. You have all of the best roguelite experiences without having to, you know, be disappointed if you die to something dumb. Like I had one instance. My very first character, I thought, boy, I'm never going to get the achievement for rehydrating a second character because I'm doing fine. I had upgraded that motherfucker to where he had like 900 hit points. Damn. Nothing could kill me. Yeah, he was a smoker and he coughed, but whatever. I just one hit shot, you know, most things and killed them. So I'm doing fine. And then like, there's a star map. Between each ship. So you basically get to see all the details of the ship or wherever you're passing through. Sometimes you're just passing through like asteroid collections or junk or whatever and get to loot it without actually getting onto a ship. I was going through the star map. I was doing incredibly well. I had plenty of resources. And then it's like, okay, you can stop in this area and there's nothing here. It's fine. Yeah, that's a lie. Because even in the areas where things are fine, shit can happen.
Oh, no.
And I was like, just cruising along. Everything's good. I'm going to stop here. And I'm going to just skip past this area where there's nothing and go on to the next ship after that. I stopped in the area where there was nothing so that I could go to the next. And I got eaten by a space whale.
Oh, Jesus.
There's no indication that this shit could happen to you. My overly beefed up character is just sitting. His name is fucking Jonah now. And he is sitting in the belly of a space whale. And I had to start all over. I'm like.
Well, you got your achievement.
Why? That was just cool.
Oh, that's no beautiful.
Whatsoever. And I was sitting there and I was like, well, fuck. I had got attached to that asshole. He had promise.
Oh, Lord.
Whatever, do it again.
Pretty much.
But, you know, just that's why I say not every death feels fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes shit can happen whether you want it to or not. Do not be deceived by the...
Well, aside from getting eaten by a space whale, $30 on Void Bastards, what do you say?
No, don't buy it. Fuck the space whales. No, I'm joking. Buy the game. It really was a blast. The art style is fantastic. It played smoothly. I like that it was, it's accessible, rather, even if you're not, somebody who plays hardcore roguelites and wants that hardcore experience of just kicking all the ass. If you just want a little more casual of an experience, it allows for that. And you're not going to be like locked out of achievements or anything. You can just have fun.
Yeah, the game's a blast. It looks beautiful. It plays beautifully. It's just super stylish, super fun, and absolutely worth picking up. Yep. And if you're worried about dropping $30 on the game, it's game part of Pass. Xbox Game Pass. So you can play it free. Well, quote unquote free. If you subscribe to Game Pass, you could play it as much as you want as long as you're a subscriber.
Yay.
Hooray.
And as long as it's in Game Pass.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No Time dropping 250 biddies. You know what that means.
Dropping bits! Ah! All over your fucking face!
Beautiful.
That was the long one.
It was. It was beautiful, though.
Wet pancakes!
I actually trimmed that part off. I made another one.
Yeah.
That was kind of in between the really short ones and the really long ones. And I trimmed off the wet pancakes line. So it would be like a more compact.
I could make a pancake moat.
Oh no. A dripping pancake.
Oh,
oh my Lord. That would be awful.
I'm going to do it.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Never Out, developed and published by Game Dust, released May 28th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $4.29. Never Out is a mysterious puzzle game. It puts you in a small claustrophobic room that only has one way out, and its unique mechanics allow every wall to become the floor. Watch out for something heavy, giant spikes, or getting electrocuted. It will lock you down in a room and won't let you escape. Will you survive or ever get out? Cole, did you get out?
No, because you're never out. Hey, oh. Bad joke.
Yeah.
You remember that movie from 1997, The Cube?
Yes.
I don't know why it took so fucking long for somebody to make that a video game. But here we are. That's basically the premise here. You're in a cube, and there's booby traps, and you need to get out. But every time you think you're out, it just drops you down into another level of the cube, and you got to do it all over again. And then the traps just get increasingly more fucked up. Like you go from, oh, hey, I've just got to rotate the room a few times and then drop down the hole to, oh, hey, if I rotate the room, I'm going to fall on spikes and die like a bitch.
Or I'm going to get crushed by another cube.
Get crushed by another cube. Or five of them, as yeah. the case may be. Or electrocuted. That can happen too.
A lot of things can kill you in this game.
It's such a simple mechanic. Rotate the room. But yeah. They do such a good job of throwing in so many different ways that rotating the room can fuck you up. Like you think, I'm fine if I move it this way. And then you forget that if you move it this way, a block is going to fall on your head.
Yep.
Thankfully, you're not limited in any way with these puzzles. If the block falls on your head, so fucking be it. You get an achievement. Do the puzzle again.
Yeah.
It's incredibly forgiving. There's no timers. There's no penalties for dying. There's no score. There's no life limit. It's just do it till you get to the next one. And I can appreciate that. Just sit in this hell of a cube and try to get to the next hell of a cube. It's so good. It's so well done. I do have one complaint. One teeny tiny complaint.
Let's hear it.
The movement is kind of, it gives you the impression that you have free rein, that you can just walk around. But when you move, you are kind of locked to the grid. And if you try to like go forward but look right, the camera kind of fucks up.
Yeah.
And it will like spaz back and forth because it's not really sure what you should look at. That can lead to some unfortunate demises. It's sad. But if you get used to it, like you realize that you're doing it and you stop. But it is unfortunate in the beginning. However, there's like 20 tutorial levels. You have plenty of time to stop doing that shit.
Yeah.
And also, there are 20 tutorial levels.
That means there's a lot more regular levels.
Oh my god. I will never get out of this goddamn cube, which is the point. But I would like to point something out. By the time I finished just the tutorial levels, I already had half of the achievements.
Oh god.
That is why Carnage 1K did so quickly. Because it's really not a hard 1K. And the puzzles, they're designed in such a way that even when you fuck them up, you can just keep hammering out at them and eventually you hit the right solution.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily get stuck. There's no reset on them or anything because you don't need it. If you just keep twisting the room enough, it's like a Rubik cube. If you do it enough, eventually you get the right solution.
Yeah.
Make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. You know what else makes sense?
Dropping bits.
Playing a sound clip because Prime dropped more biddies. So here it is.
What? Pancakes!
Yay!
Yay!
He wanted wet pancakes, so I got just wet pancakes. Queued it up just for him.
Fantastic. Carnage says there's some tough ones toward the end. Carnage is also bad at puzzles. So his opinion is moot. I didn't find any of them to be difficult enough that, like, I know there are guides for the whole goddamn thing, but I didn't even bother with them because, like I said, if you just keep moving the room long enough, eventually shit lands where it should.
Yeah.
Or you die and you try it again.
Win-win, really, when you think about it.
It's such a simple concept, too.
And yeah, again, and it works.
Why didn't somebody make this before now?
Well, then 429 on this one. What do you say?
I'm a little sad they missed the opportunity for a meme price. So close, yet so far away. I give this a buy it. It was another one that just surprised me. I was like, yeah, it's a little puzzle game. But no, it was a lot of fun, and I really did like it.
Yeah, I had fun with it, too. It's cute. It's fun. It's relaxing, despite how much pressure it could put on you to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
It doesn't put too much pressure on you that you're like, fuck this game. It's just, it's chill and fun to play through, and I'm going to be playing a lot more of it.
There's something. That's a testimony right there, if there ever was one. Carnage said he bought it when it was released.
Oh,
Carnage
wow.
doesn't ever. Carnage buys less shit than I do.
Holy hell. Carnage bought a game.
It. Yeah.
And he 1K'd it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. That's a testimony. Like, that's worth more than anything I could sit here and say.
We could give it a 10-minute review, and the only thing that matters is that Carnage actually bought a game.
Yeah, yeah, and said worth it.
Yeah.
He got more than one achievement. He buys $100 games and doesn't do that.
I mean, I can't judge on...
I can judge.
I have how many games that I haven't even touched that I've paid money for, so I can't judge on that.
Terrible. Okay, I have a few too.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Skelly Celeste, developed by Anthony Case and Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati, released May 21st on PS4, 24th on Xbox One and Switch for $9.99. Skelly Celeste is a score attack slash dash run and gun-a-thon. Venture into the procedurally generated perdition depths of hell to purge the evil taint of the Demonica Netherlords and their fiendly followers. Cole, what the hell is this game?
You said taint.
I did. The evil taint.
To be fair, most taints are evil.
Yes.
So hell is literally overflowing in Skelly Celeste. And the Celestial Order has sent out vessels of little skeletons. I bet you couldn't have guessed that.
Shocking.
To the underworld. And your goal is basically to thin the masses of demon souls so that they don't overflow onto Earth and basically create hell on Earth. There's a great tutorial. that you absolutely do not want to skip. Because it'll teach you the basics, and there's a few important rules with this game. First off, this is a roguelite. If you get fucked, you're fucked.
Yes.
Second off, you do have the ability to shoot, but you only get to start with 5 bullets. Use them wisely, because there are definitely more than 5 enemies on the screen at a time.
Mm-hmm.
However, you also have a melee weapon, and you can swipe with it, hack and slash, and every enemy that you kill with a swipe of your melee will grant you 1 bullet back. Again, you can still only hold 5 at a time unless you pick up a perk that lets you hold more. This is, gameplay-wise, very typical roguelite hack and slash, in that you teleport to an area, you have just this squarish type room. Enemies will come in, you know, north, south, east, and west at you. They don't like materialize. They actually move in onto the screen. But because they come in from the 4 directions, you can get surrounded very easily. So I hope you're good with the dash button. I am not. And I kept getting fucked up. And then you just want to hack slash your way through them. They'll drop items sometimes. Sometimes there will be chests. It's all procedurally generated, whatever you get, you know, typical roguelite of this type. I think that's one of the biggest things about this game, is that it doesn't really break any of the molds for the genre. If you know you like this kind of game,
you're probably gonna like this game.
You've probably already bought this before you even listen to me. And that's fine. It does have a retro pixel art style. And one of my complaints about it is that it uses like the pixel art style for the fonts as well, to the point that sometimes they're almost impossible to read. The game also uses a lot of bright garish colors.
Yeah.
That blend in together. And so there's a lot of like dark purple on dark purple on dark blue. And you're like, okay, well, I can't see that. And it can be difficult to read. This may be because I'm old. Who the fuck knows? But I had trouble reading what would pop up when I get an item while I was in the middle of a fight. If I tried to actually read what that item did, it was almost certain death. I was immediately fucked. Do it all over. Hope you didn't want to keep that item.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate. There's also a ton of variety of like intermediate worlds that you'll come across. It's pretty standard issue in games like this. Like, okay, you beat the level, you go to the store, you go to the next level. But this one, there was, instead of a store for one, I had tarot cards pop up, and I picked the tarot card instead that determined my fate. I died immediately. I let Studa pick. I was like, pick a number 1 through 6. And he goes 4. And I go click on the 4th card, and it's like, no, fuck you.
Studa's
not ever allowed to pick my tarot card anymore. Fucking bad luck. Then there were other ones. There was one that I never could figure out what the fuck I was supposed to do. Like, there were the 3 orbs where there are typically items that drop in those orbs. And they were just floating there. And there was nothing in them. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to give something up to get something in these. I don't know if something was supposed to be there and didn't show up. I don't know if it's glitched. I just walked out empty-handed and confused. Weird. I have no idea what was supposed to have happened in that room. So for as good as the tutorial is at telling you how to play, it doesn't explain jack shit for anything else like that. It doesn't tell you anything at all about the special rooms, and it's very trial and error and hope you don't get fucked.
Well, a lot of games are like that. You know,
yeah.
Look at your first attempts playing something like Binding of Isaac. Nothing makes sense.
It's true. It's very true.
So learn and maybe eventually get a wiki started where you could find out what items do, what rooms do, all that other fun stuff.
There is a grimoire in the game that actually helps you keep track of all your stats and everything that you pick up and all your cool hats and everything, which is funny. Like your skeleton in a chicken hat is like the best thing ever. I'd like to imagine like what this game would have looked like if it had a different art style, and that skeleton in the chicken hat is just, it makes me giggle because it's kind of hard to see it in the game with the art style that it has. It's definitely underrated.
Yeah.
I love the chicken hat. Probably the best part of the game. It's hard though, and
it is very hard.
I made it to stage 5, and it was like, "Yay, that's your record!" I'm like, "No,
I'm awful at this.
I should not be celebrating only making 5 stages." But there were times where I would literally not make it past the first stage.
Oh, same.
Like you would pop in and it would immediately be a swarm and you're like, yep, I'm dead. And it will kind of chastise you for that. Like it's not necessarily that it chastises you either, but like it'll tell you how far you made it with the vessel that you're using, and like it keeps a record of that. So it'll be like, yeah, this is a personal best kind of thing in the bottom. And when you see your personal best is level 2, you do kind of hate yourself a little bit.
A smidge.
Yeah. But that said, it's so easy to just like jump in and play a couple of stages that you don't really mind.
Yeah.
It's just I wish that the graphics were not so garish and the heavy
burning.
Yeah, the heavy pixelation makes it tougher than it should be.
Well, but, yeah. The minor gripes aside, $10 on this one, what do you say?
I'm going to give it a try. It. Even though I had a lot of fun with it, this is definitely more for the hardcore roguelite fans. And you either go into it knowing you're going to smash it or go into it knowing that you're not going to make it past stage 5 ever.
Yeah.
That's probably me. I'm probably forever stuck. Like, it's just going to sit there and be like, you made it to stage 5. And I'll be like, it was the best of times. I'll never do it again.
Never.
But it is fun to just blow through for a few minutes and waste some time.
Awesome. Well, we got one last game to talk about tonight. That is called Party Golf, developed and published by Giant Margarita, releasing June 7th on Xbox One for $14.99. I believe it's already out on PS4 and Switch, if I'm remembering properly.
Yeah.
Tee off simultaneously to a psychedelic 2D world with satisfying simple physics, except it's a frenetic free-for-all to get in the hole. It's instant fun with endless variety, and there are trillions of gameplay combinations from giant banana balls to turbo power-ups. This spontaneous couch party may drive a wedge between friends, but have everyone shouting, just one more round. Cole, tell us about Party Golf.
This is the most deceptive golf game ever. Because you think, okay, it's golf. Hit the ball in the hole. Like, I hear golf and I think infinite mini golf.
Yeah.
Right? That's not this. Remember the game that we played where you had like little aliens and you had to use physics to get them to a certain point?
Yeah.
Can't think of the name of it now.
I can't either.
Alien.
My brain is.
I don't know. Anyway, it's very similar to that if anybody listening actually listens to the show and remembers what I'm talking about as far as that game. No, not like Dangerous Golf. It's very physics based. Basically, you have the level laid out. There will be the hole somewhere on the level, and there will be obstacles in your way as far as like the way that the level is laid out. There will be cliffs and pits and things like that. And your goal is to hit the ball so that it arcs. But now you don't have any control over your power or anything. There is no person standing there with a club. It's all just, there's the ball on the screen and you see a dotted line of which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
So your best bet is just to like kind of fling it and hope you don't go off. Because if you do go out of the bounds of the screen, you get a little skull and you've got to start at the beginning all over again. Initially, this seems simple enough. But when you start to dive into this game, you realize there are so many ways that they make golf batshit crazy. Absolutely crazy. Like, there are some levels where they have made it completely pitch black. And so you can only light up the areas as your ball goes through them. And you're at the bottom and the hole will be at the top.
Oh, no.
And you've got to just, like, navigate through the dark and hope that other people, like, let other people go far enough ahead of you that you can see. And then hope that they fail and fall. So that you can get in the goal in the hole first. The way that it scores is who's closest to the hole at the end. Because,
or who made it in first.
Or who makes it in first. Now, if you make it in, it like starts a timer and everybody's got to get as close as they can so that it doesn't drag on forever waiting for everybody to get to the end. There's also different modifiers that can be put in place. Like, you can add a power up so that you can press X and just drop where you are.
Which is helpful.
Yes. That's how I got a hole in one when my ball was a giant ass heart. And then number one, like, drops her controller and walks away. She's like, I'm done with you.
Fuck you, mom.
It was the table. She was so mad. She's like, I'm done. Have we played enough of this? I'm not reviewing it with you anymore. And I was like, yes, I am the best. Because, of course, you can't get a hole in one like that and not gloat.
Very true. Especially as a heart.
Yeah, right? Getting the heart into that hole is its task all on its own. And I did it in one. I got a hole in one. I think the most interesting aspect, though, is that the game does not expect you to get the ball in the hole ever. It absolutely celebrates the shit out of you if you do. Because you are not meant to actually get it in there. Some of the levels, and this is one of the best things about it, it breaks them down based on difficulty. So, like, in the menu, you choose basic, intermediate, advanced, or fucking awful.
I don't think it's called fucking awful.
It's not, but it is fucking awful, and I don't even remember the proper term. It's just, all I remember is playing those levels and going, this is fucking awful!
This bullshit.
I was like, I think that's around the time we were playing like one of the dark out levels, and I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. And I set it up without any power ups and everything, and I was just ready to cry by the time the 10 rounds were done. One of the other frustrating things is that the AI cheat, like, you have options for how derpy you want the AI to be, and even the dumbass ones cheat. Because you can't finish the game until the point leader has to win. After you hit the point mark, which is, I think, was 500 was what we were playing to. Once you have the 500 points, you still have to win to actually win the game. And so there was one where, like, I had the 500 points. I think I was up to like 650 or something because I just couldn't get one last first place finish. And then the AI comes up out of nowhere and takes first place. I was like, that's some shit. And I'm mad about it.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm going to stay mad. I'm going to be so mad that I'm going to include it in the review that even the lame-ass AI cheat.
Yeah, cheating AI is never fun.
You can make them more aggressive or twitchy or less aggressive. The twitchy ones are funny because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They just bounce all over the place. They're a hot mess like you. But it was a lot of fun. But in one regard, there's so much that you can do with it that it's almost overwhelming. And it kind of feels like there's no, like, set way to play the game.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, you don't just go into it and know this is what you're going to get. Like,
there's so many. They said there's trillions of combinations to play, so you never know what kind of game you're going to get.
This is just like, you never know if you're actually going to be good at playing the game and have fun, or if you're.
I mean, you're never going to be good at the game. Let's get that straight.
No, I'm good. Fuck you. I got a hole in one with the heart. I'm good. I will go to my grave demanding that I am good at this. Also, I won the dark out level, so fuck yeah. But also, I was playing against 15-year-old girl. Who knows?
Hey, take the wins whenever you could get them.
Yeah, no, I'm not picky. But given that there are so many combinations and there's so much potential, it's overwhelming at times. And then, like, it would just be nice to have one basic core way to play the game just for practice.
Yeah.
Rather than Makes just sense. Sitting there going, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Let's hope I hit something every time you play.
Yeah.
That would be my only gripe.
Well, that minor gripe aside, $15, what do you say?
I give it a try. At $15, there isn't any online. It's all local. And that's kind of harsh. Like, it's hard to... Yeah, you can play with the AI, but they cheat.
Yeah.
And you can't always make three other people sit down.
Or in my case, you don't have three other people to sit down.
Yeah, to let, you know, let you beat up on them in weird golf scenarios. It's fun, but it's limited fun. You're only going to be able to play it so much. And at that price point, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Go fear pee after playing Layers of Fear.
But yeah, Layers of Fear is your pick of the week, huh?
Oh, yeah. Easy. Although Void Bastards was a surprise close second.
Nice.
Yeah. If it had been out a different week, it probably would have been. But I just, sorry, Layers of Fear is, that's my shit.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. It's been another successful one. And by successful, I mean nobody died.
I mean, you know, standards are standards.
I know. We got to have minimums. Bare minimum. We made it.
We did. I didn't. Look, I was very close to death when we started this shit. I had only just woke up, so I'm doing good.
All right. Good to hear.
Yeah. See? Only successful after we hear George again.
Okay. We'll hear him one more time.
Dropping bits!
Thank you, George. You are the best. And thank you, Carnage, for dropping 100 biddies. Good way to end the show. Another good way to end the show is going to be with some more awesome music from Stemmage's Paws on Fire soundtrack, Bubsy Paws on Fire. Going to play a couple more songs, and that's it. So, Cole, do you have any final words?
Wet pancakes.
Sit, Bubsy, sit. Good cat.